Welcome to your deep dive. Today we're asking a pretty crucial question.
Okay.
Is American democracy at a tipping point?
Right.
To figure that out, we're diving into a single day's worth of headlines from a political news site.
Okay.
Buckle up, because we're covering everything from presidential antics
Oh, wow.
to international tensions to the battle for state
All
legislatures.
right. Let's
So
talk about a lot to cover.
yeah, it's going to be a wild ride, but don't worry, we've got an expert here to help us make sense of it all.
Thanks.
So let's jump right in.
Okay.
We'll be dissecting these events not just for what happened, but for the underlying currents they reveal.
Right.
Think of it as reading between the lines to understand the forces shaping our political landscape.
Okay, I'm with you.
All right, so let's start with what's happening in the Oval Office.
Okay.
We've got a joint press conference with co-presidents Musk and Trump, and frankly, the coverage is a bit bewildering.
Yeah, it's a fascinating spectacle.
Oh, really?
You imagine this, Trump barely speaks. A child ends up perched on Musk's shoulders.
Well,
And the whole thing is a rambling, chaotic affair that left even seasoned reporters scratching their heads.
so it sounds more like a circus act than a press conference.
Pretty much.
But is there any substance to what they're saying?
Well, there's this moment where Musk launches into this extended analogy.
Okay.
He calls it the parable of the limestone cavern.
The what?
The parable of the limestone cavern.
Mm.
He uses it to describe government inefficiency,
Okay.
focusing on this cavern where they supposedly store outdated records.
Really?
Now, while the analogy itself is bizarre, Musk touches on a sentiment that resonates with a lot of people, the feeling that government is bloated and inefficient.
That's interesting. So he's tapping into a genuine concern, but maybe using a rather unconventional way to express it.
Exactly. And this tactic, weaving a kernel of truth into a larger, more dramatic narrative,
Right.
is something we see repeatedly in this administration.
Like what?
They make sweeping claims about government waste, for example,
Yeah.
without offering concrete evidence.
So it's more about playing to emotions than presenting factual arguments.
Yeah, you could say that.
What kind of impact does this approach have on the public?
It reinforces existing biases and makes it difficult to have nuanced conversations about complex issues.
Right.
It also creates a climate where sensationalism trumps substance, which can be dangerous in a democracy.
It's like they're creating a distraction while something else is going on.
Possibly.
And speaking of distractions, the situation in Gaza is escalating rapidly.
Yeah, I've been following that.
Remember Trump's claim about $50 million for condoms?
Oh, yeah.
Turns out that was completely fabricated.
Wow.
And yet he's doubled down with an even more outlandish proposal, turning Gaza into a luxury resort after resettling Palestinians elsewhere.
You're kidding.
Nope, straight from the headlines.
That's unbelievable.
I know, right? It sounds like something out of a dystopian novel.
Yeah, it does.
But is this just another attention-grabbing stunt or something we should be taking seriously?
That's the question, isn't it?
Mm.
While it sounds absurd on the surface, this plan is gaining traction with certain groups.
Really?
Yeah, and even influencing international players like Israel and Jordan.
Wow.
And the implications of what he's suggesting, ethnic cleansing and potentially genocide, are incredibly disturbing.
That's a chilling thought. It's a stark contrast to his previous pronouncements on Canada and Greenland, which seemed more like off-the-cuff remarks.
Right, those seemed less serious.
Exactly. This feels different.
It does.
It's chilling to think that these pronouncements could have real-world consequences, especially in such a volatile region.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're already seeing a backlash from the Arab American community.
What kind of backlash?
Many who voted for Trump, hoping for Middle East peace, are now deeply regretting their decision.
So this situation highlights the disconnect between campaign rhetoric and the potential for devastating real-world consequences.
Exactly. Actions speak louder than words, especially in the political arena.
It seems that way. And sometimes even seemingly outlandish ideas can have a ripple effect that we can't ignore.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
It is. This idea of a tipping point keeps coming back to me.
Yeah.
From the Oval Office to Gaza, it feels like things are getting more and more precarious.
And it's not just limited to international affairs.
Oh, really?
Here in the U.S., we're seeing another front in this potential tipping point,
Okay.
the fight for reproductive rights.
This is something that's been in the headlines a lot lately,
Yeah.
and it's definitely unsettling. There was a memo from the Department of Transportation
Okay.
suggesting they prioritize transportation grants
Right.
for communities with high marriage and birth rates.
So basically encouraging people to have more kids.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
On the surface, it might seem like a bizarre way to allocate transportation funds.
Right. You'd think they'd be focused on things like infrastructure
Yeah.
and safety.
Exactly. But if we dig a little deeper, it aligns with a broader pattern we're seeing from this administration.
Interesting.
Help me understand this pattern.
Okay, sure.
Why is this memo such a big deal?
Well, it suggests an attempt to incentivize certain behaviors.
Like what?
Specifically, marriage and childbirth.
Okay.
And while the memo itself may not have legal teeth,
right,
it's a signal of intent.
Interesting.
This administration seems to be pushing the boundaries of its authority.
Okay.
To influence social policy, particularly when it comes to reproductive freedom.
And it's not just this memo, right?
No.
There have been other developments that raise concerns.
Uh-huh. Lots of them.
Like what?
We're seeing efforts to access women's reproductive health data.
Oh, wow.
The Pentagon refusing to reimburse out-of-state abortion care.
That's a big one.
And the weakening of protections for birth control access.
So it's kind of a multi-pronged attack.
You could say that.
These actions, when taken together,
right,
paint a clear picture.
Definitely.
It feels like a systematic effort to restrict reproductive freedom.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
But what's the motivation behind this?
It seems to be driven by a particular ideology that prioritizes traditional family structures and opposes abortion in all circumstances.
So they're trying to impose their values on everyone else.
Well, it certainly looks that way.
And the potential long-term impact on women's lives is significant.
It is.
We could see a rollback of hard-won rights.
Yeah, potentially.
And a return to a time when women had far less control over their own bodies and destinies.
That's a scary thought.
It is. And what about the political consequences?
Right.
Women make up a majority of the electorate.
Exactly.
Really, this could backfire.
That's a question many political analysts are asking.
So what are they saying?
Whether this strategy mobilizes voters in opposition or further solidifies the administration's base,
right,
remains to be seen.
So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch how this plays out in the upcoming elections.
Absolutely. These issues have a way of galvanizing voters on both sides of the aisle. Speaking of galvanizing, let's shift our focus to Congress.
Sure.
It seems there's never a dull moment on Capitol Hill.
You can say that again.
What's caught your attention recently?
Well, Senator Ted Cruz is at it again.
Oh, boy. What's he up to now?
Pushing for voter ID legislation.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really persistent.
But this time it's different, right?
This time the stakes are higher because of the potential for the filibuster to be eliminated.
If that happens, this legislation could have a significant impact on voting access across the country, couldn't it?
Absolutely. And it raises questions about whose votes are being prioritized and whose are being suppressed.
Sounds like we're going back in time.
It does feel that way sometimes.
On a lighter note,
okay,
we have the Red, White, and Blue Land Act.
A what now?
The Red, White, and Blue Land Act. A proposal by a congressman to rename Greenland.
Seriously.
It sounds like a joke, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
But it highlights how political stunts can be used to grab headlines and distract from more pressing issues.
Yeah, it's all about the spectacle these days.
It also blurs the lines between satire and serious policy proposals, making it difficult for the public to discern what's real and what's not.
Right, exactly. It's like we're living in a simulation.
It's a tactic we've seen employed before, using humor to deflect or distract.
Yeah, it's a classic move.
On a more serious note,
okay,
Representative Nancy Mace has come forward with accusations of sexual assault.
Oh, wow. That's a serious allegation.
This situation requires a delicate balance.
It does.
It's crucial to believe women who come forward with these allegations.
Absolutely.
While also recognizing that due process is essential.
Right. It's important to let the legal system run its course.
It's a complex issue with no easy answers.
That's for sure.
It also highlights the potential for these types of accusations to become politicized, which can further complicate the pursuit of justice.
Yeah, unfortunately, that happens all too often.
Now let's zoom out even and look at another level of the political landscape.
Okay.
State legislatures.
Right.
They often fly under the radar.
They do.
But they wield a tremendous amount of power, don't they?
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
In many ways, state legislatures are the front lines of American democracy.
Wow. That's a powerful statement.
They have a direct impact on our daily lives, shaping everything from education to healthcare to voting rights.
And the Republican Party, recognizing this power,
right,
strategically focused on gaining control of state legislatures in the 2010s.
And they were incredibly successful.
So now the Democrats are playing catch up.
Yeah, they're trying to regain ground.
Yeah.
They've identified key battleground states,
okay,
where they believe they can flip control of the legislature.
And these battleground states are?
They're focusing on Alaska.
Kupka?
Minnesota. Michigan,
yeah,
Pennsylvania,
yeah,
Virginia, and Wisconsin.
Got it.
Control of the legislatures in these states is either closely divided,
right,
or could potentially flip with the right strategy.
So these are the states to watch in the upcoming elections.
Absolutely.
But what about the long game?
Good question.
What are the Democrats doing to build a foundation for future success?
They've also identified power-building targets.
Power-building target. What does that mean exactly?
It means investing in states where they currently have less influence.
Okay.
With the goal of making gains over time.
So playing the long game.
Exactly.
Mm.
These states include Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and New Hampshire.
Got it.
It's a long-term strategy.
Right.
But it recognizes that building a sustainable political movement requires sustained effort and a focus on the ground game.
It seems like both parties are playing chess, thinking several moves ahead.
Definitely. It's a strategic game.
And these state-level battles have implications that extend far beyond state lines, don't they?
They absolutely do.
Yeah.
Think about issues like voting rights, redistricting, and social policy.
Yeah.
The decisions made at the state level can have a ripple effect on the entire country, shaping the political landscape for years to come.
It's fascinating how seemingly local decisions can have such broad implications, you know?
Yeah, it's like a butterfly effect.
It reminds us that politics isn't just something happening in Washington, D.C. It's happening all around us.
Absolutely. And the fight for state legislatures is a prime example of that.
Right.
The outcomes of these battles will have a direct impact on issues like voting rights redistricting and social policy, you know, things that touch every aspect of our lives.
Exactly. Now, before we wrap up, I want to circle back to a gubernatorial race we mentioned earlier.
Okay, which one?
New Mexico.
Oh, right.
Deb Haaland, Biden's former Secretary of the Interior, has thrown her hat in the ring to replace the termed out incumbent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a significant development.
It is. Haaland is a formidable candidate with strong name recognition and deep connections within the Democratic Party.
For sure. But New Mexico has a history of alternating between Democratic and Republican governors.
Right. So you're saying.
So even with Haaland's popularity, this race could still be a toss-up.
It's definitely not a guaranteed win.
Nope. New Mexico's political landscape is more nuanced than it might appear on the surface.
So what are you saying?
There are strong pockets of support for both parties, and local issues often play a significant role in determining the outcome of elections.
So this race will be one to watch closely. It's a reminder that even in seemingly predictable political landscapes, there's always room for surprises.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that makes American politics so compelling.
What do you mean?
There's always an element of unpredictability, and the actions of individuals can have a profound impact on the course of events.
Well, this deep dive has certainly lived up to its name.
It has.
We've gone from the Oval Office to Gaza, from the battle for reproductive rights to the intricacies of congressional maneuvering and the fight for state legislatures.
We've covered a lot of ground.
What stands out to you as the most significant takeaway from all of this?
I think the key takeaway is that we're at a critical juncture in American democracy.
In what way?
The forces at play are complex and often contradictory, but they're shaping the future in profound ways. The decisions made today at all levels of government will have lasting consequences.
So what does this mean for us as individuals? What can we do to navigate this complex and ever-shifting landscape?
Stay informed, engage in critical thinking, and participate in the political process at all levels. Don't just be a spectator. Make your voice heard, support the causes you believe in, and hold your elected officials accountable.
It's a reminder that democracy is not a passive activity. It requires active participation and a commitment to upholding the values we hold dear. As you continue to explore the news and engage in the political arena, ask yourself these questions. What are the underlying motivations behind the actions of our leaders?
Right.
Who benefits from these policies and who is impacted? Remember, even seemingly small actions at the local level can have a ripple effect that extends far beyond your immediate community. Your informed engagement is essential in shaping the future of our democracy.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, thanks for guiding us through this deep dive.
My pleasure.
It's been an enlightening and thought-provoking journey. And to our listeners, we encourage you to stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged. The future of our democracy depends on it.